Hi, Neil here, and this week we have the second episode of our Naturally Connected mini-series that aims to explore our connection to those everyday natural wonders that we either take for granted or ignore. Last time we explored our intriguing connection to the ocean, and this time round, it's a bit more micro than macro. You recognise that noise, right? As the days grow colder and nature seems to slow down, have you ever wondered what happens to the bees? These tiny yet essential creatures, so often buzzing through our gardens in spring and summer, don't simply vanish in winter. So in this week's episode of Living Planet, our reporter Ben Restle in Berlin takes a closer look at what bees get up to during the colder months and why their survival strategy is so critical, not just for their colonies, but for ecosystems everywhere.
So there's a little entry hole to this box and a couple of bees are coming out.
Yeah, sometimes you'll see some bees returning with pollen, those yellow patches on the last pair of legs.
That's Berlin beekeeper Melanie von Orlov, who's come to check up on her beehives, long rows of big, colourful boxes tucked away at the far end of a quiet cemetery. But there's not much for her to do during the colder season, because bees preserve their energy and switch to survival mode when temperatures drop.
Now they just cuddle together. They need to stay warm. They cuddle together and to protect the queen, which is in the middle. And they also have still brood. They're still having all kind of larvae and pupae, which needs to be kept warm within between 37 degrees. Within a hive, it needs to be stay warm just to keep up the brood temperature.
I find that very relatable, that the bees don't want to go outside when it's not sunny and they huddle together when it's cold. I feel like that too. I kind of want to stay home where it's warm.
Yeah.
And curl up on my sofa with
Absolutely.
A hot cup of tea.
Yeah. They do it the same way, more or less.
Bees form winter clusters with the queen at the very center, huddling together to stay warm. They shiver to generate heat, and they do this by twitching their wing muscles. With the outermost bees keeping still, like a layer of insulation. I wonder, what's the size of a typical bee colony during the cold season?
For winter, you need at least 5,000. That's absolutely the minimum. Much better is if you have about 10,000, 15,000. This is sufficient for them to survive the winter.
Compare that with the warmer months, when a typical bee colony will be much larger.
And in May and June, then you reach the maximum, which is about 40,000 to 50,000 bees per colony.
The seasonal differences don't end there. Not only do bee colonies shrink during the colder period, they're also made up of different bees. In the warmer months, colonies are populated by summer bees that die after just a few weeks. But in the colder season, they're replaced by winter bees that live for months. Why? Because it's their job to stay alive, keep the colony warm, and see it through till spring. That's why there's not much activity around the beehives on this chilly afternoon.
Boxes with a lower number of bees, they have difficulties to send off bees now for gathering stuff. If it's the cold, they need enough bees inside to keep the brood warm.
But most of them are inside, so we can only see a couple come out occasionally.
Yeah.
So I guess most of them are huddled inside, keeping themselves warm.
Absolutely, absolutely. They should have everything inside right now, and there shouldn't be a need for gathering much food outside.
Bees are highly organized. It's the job of summer bees, for example, to collect and then store away honey and pollen to sustain the colony through the cold season.
There's society, and they always work together. It's not like a hierarchy. There's not a big queen and top and everyone is a slave. Absolutely not. Those bees know that they can just survive if they work together on an eco level, and this is amazing.
Winter bees feed on honey. Remove too much of the sweet stuff and you could starve the colony to death.
It depends a little bit on how much honey you're taking from the hive. If you take more honey, you have to replace it usually by some sort of sugar feeding.
What does one of these boxes weigh when it's full of honey in summer?
Oh, it can become very, very heavy. At the moment, we have about 20 to 30 kilos, which is okay. Still able to carry. But in summer, you can get weights up to 100 kilos. It's getting really heavy. If you have a nice year and you don't harvest honey in between, then it can get really heavy.
There's a signposting system for those bees that do venture outside the hive, despite the cold.
We know that honeybees can see colors. They're not very good in seeing red, but all the other colors like white and yellow can be very nicely seen by honeybees. So it helps bees to find back in their own colony, just if you have some color markings. That's why we have sometimes the entrances marked in different colors. It helps bees to find back their way home.
Poking their heads out can be dangerous, though, with hungry birds lurking nearby.
The sparrows, for example, they just pick a little bit on front of the hive, so they wait until the first bee shows up to see who is disturbing there, and then they snatch the first bee showing up. So the birds have already learned how to get a quick snack. It's like a vending machine without paying. They're getting the bees.
As the colder months drag on, winter bees are already preparing for the warmer half of the year.
Right after Christmas, they very often try already to set up the first brood, because they know it will take until about 3 months until March, when the first blossoms appear. Until this time, they have to produce bees, enough bees that they can make use out of the first blossoms showing up. And this is a time when the winter bees have really to work hard, because they are the only surviving bees, and they have to restart the whole process, the whole living process once again. So, and this is also very impressive how they invest really everything into bees. They know that it doesn't make sense to store pollen and nectar for bad times, because they know in March we have to be there and we need enough bees and enough helpers, so we have to produce them right now.
Fast forward a few months and it's spring, with the first flowers in bloom. What happens now?
And when the nature opens its doors again, blossoms are showing up, then the bees have hopefully enough bees to make use of it, out of it. And this is a moment when they start to gather nectar, dry the nectar until the water content of the nectar drops below 20%, usually about 18 or 70%. And this is a process which ends up in honey. And this is usually the time where most food is available in nature.
But it's also the time when some bees start looking around for a new home, which can be a bit of a bother.
Many of those swarms, they don't find a nice hollow tree where they can nest in. They find usually some things like a chimney or whatever, any kind of last year I had even a car with a swarm in the motor part of the car. I can't tell where. We were not able to get it out because it was behind the grill. We couldn't reach it. And those swarms have no chance. I asked the driver to go to the highway and drive as much as possible just to get the bees out of the motor, of the engine. He tried it, but the bees stayed.
Though most honeybees are easy to handle when you know what you're doing. That's why Melanie runs classes teaching youngsters about bees and the importance of insects generally.
Many insects are considered as pests, usually. But this is what people consider those insects. They don't trusts them at all, and they just see the end with a stinger, and they don't see all the other properties of the insect. And this is something we have to change. Those people need to see that not only bees, but all kind of critters and insects, they have a job, and they're doing a great job to keep this world running.
After all, insects play a vital role as pollinators.
The honeybees is just one part of the big pollination orchestra we have worldwide. We know that about 14% of the crops we use worldwide are really pollinated by honeybees, or you see an increase of pollination if you put in more honeybee colonies. Many other plants, especially also the wild plants, are pollinated by different species. 88% of the wild plants are pollinated mainly based on beetles. And the hoverflies, wasps, all kind of butterflies, they are all parts of this pollination orchestra, so we need them all together.
I honestly never knew that bees jiggle and shake to keep warm in winter, though it sounds quite intuitive, really. If you're feeling frosty, move about, jump, and dance. And remember, bees don't produce honey for our benefit. It's their winter survival food.
This week's episode was produced by Ben Restler and edited by me, Neil King. Our sound engineer was Gerd Georgi. If you enjoyed this episode or have any feedback or questions, please don't be shy and send us an email or voice message to livingplanet@dw.com. We'd really love to hear from you. Next week, we'll be exploring how the unique landscape of Yorkshire has inspired writers for centuries. And I don't want to give too much away, but all James Herriot fans really should listen into this episode. I think you'll get quite a nice surprise. In the meantime, please check out our YouTube channel, DW Podcasts, where you can find Living Planet bonus material. That's it. Thank you for listening and sharing Living Planet with friends and family. My name is Neil King. Living Planet is brought to you by DW in Bonn, Germany.
Hi, I'm Kate Laycock, host of DW's weekly European current affairs programme, Inside Europe. Our correspondents were there when the Berlin Wall fell, when the Balkans Wars broke out, and when Britain voted to leave the European Union. Now the continent is changing again, and we're rising to the challenge, bringing you a combination of expert analysis and on-the-ground reporting. Join us every Thursday.